Amen. Let us now go into a time of scripture reading. Today's passage is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 5 to 6. I will read out loud. Please listen attentively. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us now, please be seated. Let us now invite Pastor Lee Kai to preach to us the word of God.
Yeah, thanks. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we open your word. May you open our heart and speak to us. And your Holy Spirit illuminate things within our heart that is hidden that we may not be aware of, so that we can turn to you and walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The theme for today is Enoch, walk with God by faith. I think last week, Reverend YC had shared with us about the worship of faith, how God took favor with Abel, this person, and also his sacrifice. And more so, Abel's sacrifice points towards the ultimate sacrifice, that is Jesus Christ. I think today, followed by Abel, is Enoch. I think like Abel, before we approach God, we need to atone for our sin, which is Jesus Christ. And then can we walk with God and have communion with God. And that's why, followed by Enoch, who walked with God by faith after what Abel has done. So I think today's lesson, Enoch teach us about what it means to be walking with God by faith. I think the main point or the main idea of today's sermon is that faith is expressed by our daily walk with God. We can only walk with God when we are in agreement with Him. Believe that He is real and that He is a rewarder of our faith. This is the whole idea of the sermon today. I think before we jump into the text, we want to have a bit of the context. What does who is Enoch? I think every Sunday school children probably can answer the question, who is Enoch? I think he's someone special in the Bible because he's the only two person recorded in the Bible that who did not experience death. That means he was being brought to heaven straight away without going through death. So let's read Genesis 5, 21 and 22 about Enoch. Okay, let's read this. 1, 2, 3. Enoch was a seventh generation or great grandson of these Adams. The seventh generation of Adam. So-called, he's born in a so-called, if you want to put it in a way, a Christian family. Even though he's the seventh generation of Enoch, he did not come to know Christ until the age of 65, written there. So one thing we want to be mindful of is that we do not want to assume any of us here born in a Christian family, we are automatically a Christian. Because this is not so for Enoch. At the age of 65, it's a bit old for him to come to know the Lord. But anyway, he still come to know the Lord. Something happened. He said in verse 22, he said, after he became the father of Methuselah, then Enoch started to walk with God. So there is a turning point in his life after he got this son, Methuselah. What happened, we are not sure. But there is a repentance. There is a turning point in his life at age 65. I think later the name Methuselah probably can give us a glimpse what happened or what it means for Methuselah or for Enoch when the son came. The word Methuselah, it means what? The name Methuselah means when he dies, it shall come. I'm not sure when Mark and Phoebe got married, what's the name of the son? Since last week, we've been asking to start naming the son. So, I'm not sure what will you name your son when your son can't, or maybe a daughter, we're not sure. If your child is given birth to you, how would you name them? I don't think you'll name something, anything that relates to death. But whenever you call your son, it doesn't sound nice, right? Oh, this is in Hokkien, or in Chinese, if you got somebody got a surname called Shi, And I heard 史, 历史的史, 史, 哎,那个, 史, what's the Chinese name? 史一奇, oh, let's say, call it 史一奇. Just joking, huh? If your surname got the word 史, it don't sound nice, right? Whatever name you call put behind is always don't sound nice. So you don't like to name someone with the name with the word 史. But it seems ridiculous that Enoch named the son, when he dies, it shall come. What it means, saying that when he dies, it shall, what shall come when they say it? I think let's come to this, the genealogy of this Enoch. Methuselah is someone who is the oldest one who record living on the Bible. In the Bible, it's 969 years old. So Methuselah was 187 years old when Lamech was born. That was old age, huh? And Lamech was 182 years old when Noah was born. So we see the relation between Enoch and Noah. There's four generations below. So how old was Noah was born when Methuselah was 369. If you add on the age together, you can see Methuselah was Noah was born when Methuselah was 369. Then the flood came when Noah was 600 years old. If we put all these things together, what do we get? When the flood came, Methuselah was exactly 969. That's what it means when Enoch named his son Methuselah. That means when he dies, it shall come. What is the it shall come? It is a judgment. It is a judgment. So it tells a lot. Enoch knew the plan of God being revealed to him, that the judgment of the earth will come when Methuselah died. And what does it tell us? If you read Genesis 5, 21 to 24, two keywords keep repeating itself, is that Enoch walked faithfully with God, Enoch walked faithfully with God. It tells us something, that God revealed his plan to him when Enoch walked faithfully with God. Sometimes we want to seek the plan of God, we want to seek the way of God, but we are not walking in the light of God. That's why we do not know. And that was a turning point in Enoch's life when he came to know the Lord, because he walked faithfully with God. And Hebrew 11, we just read 5 and 6, two keywords appeared again about Enoch. If you read carefully the word, it said, please God, please God. One who pleased God is impossible to please God. So it tells us a lot about Enoch. Enoch is someone who walked faithfully with God, and Enoch is someone who pleases God. If you put these two things together, what does it show us? That Enoch pleases God because he walked faithfully with God. So if you want to please God, one way is pleasing to God is to walk with the Lord. Is to walk with the Lord. And it is not easy, and it takes faith to walk with the Lord and to please God with someone that you cannot see, and yet believing that he will reward you when you seek him. It takes faith to do that. We're going to enter into the text, and we'll see how do we walk with God by faith. I think first of all, we need to believe that God is real. We need to believe that God is real. We read just now that it is impossible to please God. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists. It is hard to walk with someone you do not know that he's real. It's just like you're talking to hallucination, you're talking to yourself. And sometimes when we talk about believing with an unseen God, it is difficult because we cannot see him and we cannot touch him. And how can we relate to a God that you can't see and you can't touch? I think we grew up in a worldview of this materialism. What is materialism? Is that someone who believes that nothing exists beyond matters. Nothing exists beyond this material world. There's no supernatural, there's no soul, there's no spirit, and there's no God. Everything is defined with what they see as matter. So when you share the gospel to someone who have this worldview of materialism, and he'll always say, how can I believe in an invisible God? If you want me to believe in Jesus, let Jesus show me in front of, manifest himself in front of me. Then I'll believe. Have you heard such conversation before? People tell you, show me Jesus, then I'll believe in Jesus. And this is the worldview of materialism. I'm going to run through a three aspects. How can we know God is real even when we can't see him? First way, rational mind. Rational mind. Believing in God is not irrational. The Bible tells us that God is wise. Being wise needs to tell us that God is rational. Having a rational mind, we can conclude that God exists. Why? Because Romans 1 tells us, let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. So it tells us that from the rational mind, we can know this invisible God even though we cannot see Him. It's true, the things that God created. Everything don't come from nothing. Everything comes from something. So who is the starting point? Who is the something? Even scientists believe that the universe is expanding, which means it has a starting point. And God is the creator of time, space, and matter. I'm not sure if Gareth, are you around? Yeah, Gareth's like apologetic. So you can approach him to share more with you. How do we know God exists? He can argue from morality, from different things. How do we know that God exists even though we can't see Him? You can argue from historicity. Since God is a spirit, we know that God is invisible. How can we know an invisible God? Unless God revealed Himself through a form that we can see, which is Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ existed before in human history. And how do we know that? Because today, we name after Jesus Christ, taking Him as a reference. B.C. before Christ and A.D. Anno Domini, the Latin word which means the year of the Lord. We cannot name someone who never exists in history. So we can surely know that Jesus Christ exists before. And He's not just someone who existed in history. He resurrected from His death. Come on Easter Sunday, 31st March, we'll share a bit more how His resurrection proves His deity. Likewise, we cannot ask Jesus to appear in front of us again like we asked Napoleon to stand in front of us so that we can believe that He exists. We can never replay history again. I think third thing is very important is personal experience. Personal experience. God is a spirit. God is also a person. A person means that He is relational, someone that you can relate to. It's not that we are talking in the air. It's not that we are imagining something. God is personal that we can relate to. Something that goes beyond our rational mind, something that we can connect to. When I was a young believer, I received Christ at the age of 13 when I was in a secondary school. My school is a missionary school, so we have assembly weekly. I came to a point, I came to make a decision at a very young age of 13. So from my sec 1 to sec 4, my sister came to know the Lord earlier than me, but I see the difference in her. She reads the Bible, she serves, and the joy just radiates from her face. So I envy. I keep reading the Bible, I attend church events, activities, but I felt something missing in my life compared to her. I got the reference because I can see her life is different compared to mine. So I really struggled. Am I really a Christian? Because I see the abundance life in her, the light that shines in her, but I see it quite empty within myself. So there was a time, 4 years in my secondary school, I really struggled. I know something is missing in my life compared to a Christian life. So there was a time I feel so fed up. I kneeled down and prayed, and I cried that time during my secondary school. I asked God, I prayed that, God, if You are real, change me. I felt so tired coming to church every Sunday. I can spend time sleeping and playing games at home. I can do other things at home. And why do I keep on performing rituals when I'm not experiencing God and I'm not sure about the reality of God? So there was a moment when I prayed, God, if You're real, change me. Brother and sister, if this is what you're experiencing in life right now, you feel that you've been practicing Christian, but you're not experiencing God, pray a prayer. I think this is a prayer really that we can pray to God. God, if You're real, change me. And God slowly changed me. When I went to Poly, Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU, in a way, discipled me. I got a tremendous turn in my life. My pursuit in life is totally different. At the age of 23, I dedicate myself to serve full-time. And during my time when I serve full-time, we don't have income. We just based on our faith living. Anybody just give us the offering and we just take it. And that was a change in my whole life, how God has changed me, and I pray that prayer, God, if You're real, change me. I want to share a testimony from the first service. Last month, Guo Xiu-ing, is from our first service, she departed, she passed off and be with the Lord last month. When I went to the funeral, the wake, the son shared her testimony on the behalf. Guo Xiuying, she was a hardcore unbeliever. She was very against the faith when the children became a believer. The children keep sharing the gospel to her. She said, I will never believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what she promised the children. I will never believe. She's against them in their faith because she had been worshipping idols for all her life, 30 over years. But the children never gave up. They keep praying for the mom. You know what happened? One night, Guo Xiuying had a dream. She saw Jesus in a dream. And Jesus called out to her name. The next morning she woke up, she told her children, I want to be a Christian. Amazing, isn't it? God appeared to her in a dream. All her life, she's so strong against Christianity. And until one night, a dream that Jesus told her and called her by her name. You know what happened? Within 1 week, she cleared off all the idols she has been worshipping for 30 years. Can you imagine someone worshipping idols for 30 years? She immediately removed away. And within a year, she got baptized and became a strong believer. And whoever she sees on the street, she shared to them about the gospel. What happened? What happened to someone who is so against Christianity, even promised to the children, I will never become a Christian. And just one night, the Lord appeared to her in a dream. He just changed and turned overnight. God is real. It's not just mentally we know it. We have to go through it. We have to really experience it to know the reality of God, not just head knowledge, but even in our heart. Brothers and sisters, we have to experience God. And the Lord will desire you to seek Him because the Bible promised, if you seek me, you'll find me, if you seek me with all your heart. Therefore, to walk with the Lord, we must first believe that God is real. And how do you know God is real? It's through rational mind, it's through historical record, and most importantly, as we read the Bible, as we pray, as we obey God, we will experience God in His time. And what must we do if we want to walk with God by faith? I think the second point is to agree with God and deny the flesh and the world. To agree with God. In the New Testament term, how do they explain walking with God? In the New Testament term is walk in the Spirit. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. To walk with God means that we walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, that means that we are in agreement with God and deny our flesh. If you could not agree with God, it is difficult to walk with God. Let's read this verse, Amos, together. 1, 2, 3. Can two persons walk together without agreeing on a direction? Those who are married or those who are in relationship, you know. When you have some issue with your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend, when you don't agree with each other, you can never walk together. When you're in disagreement with each other, you can't serve together. When you're in disagreement with each other, you can't even sleep together. It is impossible when you're in disagreement. Therefore, when we walk with God, we have to agree with God. Agree with God with what He says in the Bible. Agree with God when He says yes, means yes. When He says no, means no. That means we bring God in every decision we make. God, should I enter into this relationship? We will ask God. God, am I harboring evil thoughts? We will bring God in our thoughts process. When we meet with people, we bring in God. Am I relating in a way that honors to you? In everything you do, you align with God. Attach God with Him. To walk with God, that means we have to agree with Him and to deny our flesh and go against the current of the world. From Jude chapter 1, let's read this Jude chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. 1, 2, 3. You see, with just two short verses, we see the word keep repeating, ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. Therefore, we know that the time that Enoch lived in, is a very ungodly time. It is a time when God is about to bring judgment, the flood, to destroy the whole earth. Because everyone, it is so ungodly. I think likewise, we live in also in an ungodly era right now. But we are called to be a church. The Greek word means for a church is a group of people being called to set apart. We live in an ungodly world, likewise with Enoch, but we are called to set apart. The Bible tells us in the end time, in 2 Timothy 3, he said that it will be a very terrible time when people will be lover of themselves, lover of pleasure than God. There is a great moral decay. And recently, I just watched on YouTube, a man does not want people to address him with the pronoun of he or she, his or him or her. They like people to address him as they, because they involve both gender, male and female. So when you invite this person to your home, they say, they are coming. You thought probably there are 10 group of people. You invite, prepare a lot of lunch for them, but appeal only one person because he called himself, his pronoun as they. You see, people in our end days, end times, we want to define things in our own term, not according to the term that God had defined for us. People are free in the end time to determine what is right and what is wrong. But we are called as the salt and light of this earth. So when we see someone in sin, we have to speak out. If you read from Enoch, just on the verses, say, what did Enoch respond to them? He said that Enoch prophesied about them. That means Enoch speak out against them. He did not just keep quiet, keep silent. When we speak out against someone, you're not saying that we call out the brimstone from heaven and burn them. It's not about that. And we do not also mean that we use the Bible to hammer that person. I think the Bible gives us a very good principle. And let's read Galatians 6:1. 1, 2, 3. I think the attitude behind restoring the person is gently. The reason is why? Because we are all sinners. And they say over there, be watch. Keep watch for yourself, because we may fall into the same sin as a person, which tells us that we are all vulnerable. We don't stand at the judgment seat to condemn anyone. We just encourage and restore, because we can be fallen at any time. I think last Sunday, Reverend YC shared about the sermon, and he talked about this Agape Personal Ethics and Conduct Guideline. I think as a church, we cannot keep quiet. We have to speak out when things are not right. When we know that Enoch live in an ungodly world, he speak up also. I think the purpose of speaking out is to bring repentance and restoration. It's not about condemnation. And someone may ask, why are we so strict? Because the world, everybody is doing that, and why are we so strict? I think the key reasons given in 1 Peter, he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Be holy in all you do. I think second reason, because the things we talk about, I think, mainly involve in sex. Second reason, why is it that way? Because God designed sex in his sacred way. And the way to enjoy sex is only within a marriage, not before marriage and not outside marriage. And that's how God had designed. He is wise and he sees things and understands things beyond us. But if you want to take things upon our own hand, you want to define your sex in your own way, I think at the end, it will bring chaos, it will bring confusion, it will bring heartbreak and betrayal. I think this is a guitar that everybody knows, that I can play guitar in any way that I like. If I pick up a guitar and like to play this way, I got the freedom to play any way that I like. Yes, in some sense, I got the freedom to do anything that I like with this guitar. But is this the way the guitar was designed to play, be played? But if, let's say I play the guitar the other way around, in a way, without knowing the chords, I just anyhow and strum with the freedom given to me, I can play the guitar and make some noises. But is the noise pleasing to your ear? I don't think we all like it. This is not the way guitar was being designed to be played. But if I follow accordingly to how the person who designed guitar and created guitar for, And I learned the chords to play guitar. Am I in the right tune? Dream, 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 dream. Okay. If we play guitar in the right way, the right chords, melody came out. Because that's the way that God had designed. This, God set boundary. God set control. It's not chaos. So that we can express music in the beautiful ways, according to His ways, and not according to ours. Yes, we got freedom to do anything you want to. You want to define sex in your own ways. I think it is possible. But we may not enjoy to the fullest what God has made beautiful sex is in His own creation. Therefore, if you want to walk with God, you have to agree in His own term, not your term, in His own term. And many a times, we have to deny our flesh and go against the culture of the world. We see the story of Enoch is very much parallel to Revelation. Revelation is the end times. You're talking about the world following the great wickedness. So we are called to be like Enoch, to be righteous and walk with God in such an end times. I think we all live in a corrupted world, and most of the time, sometimes, we too fall in sin also. I think this is a moment for us, a reminder for us, are we in sin? That God has been tugging your heart to tell you that you're not putting your attention to it. When you come to church, it's a moment for you to reflect. Are you still clinging on the sin that's not pleasing to God? Bring it to the light by confessing to God. Repent and turn your heart back to God. If you're not in agreement with God, you cannot walk with God. And therefore, you cannot please Him. At the end, how do you walk with God? In order to walk with God, we have to believe that God rewards those who seek Him earnestly. Those who seek Him. I think there's a lot of passages in the Bible who tell us God rewards those who seek Him. Let's read this in together. This is Hebrew just now. Okay, let's read this verse together. Psalms 1. Okay, 1, 2, 3. You see, blessed is the one who walk in the way that God had designed the path. And you'll be blessed in the way, and the Lord will cause them to prosper. Let's read another verse in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 1, 2, 3. If we walk in obedience, the Lord will prosper us. And this is how God has designed. And walking in obedience doesn't mean that we'll never encounter difficult time. We'll never encounter dark time. This is not what God has designed for. And even through difficult times, we are blessed by His presence and comfort. Let's read Psalms 23, verse 4. 1, 2, 3. You see, even if I walk through the darkest valley, God is with you, and He will comfort you. I think I'll end with this story. This person called Albert Edward Winship. He is a 19th century pioneer in education reporter. He recorded two families for 200 years, traced back their genealogy over the many, many years, 200 years, and to see many generations from two families, how different their trajectory went off over 200 years. One family is the Edward family. In the family, there's 100 university professors that came up from the family. There's 14 university principals, 70 lawyers, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 60 composers, 300 over pastors, theologians, and missionaries, and etc., and one vice president. And the other family is a Jukes family. Among them, there's 310 hooligans, 130 of them have been in jail for more than 13 years and above, 7 murderers, 100 alcoholics, 60 thieves, 190 prostitutes, and 20 normal persons or 20 businessmen. What makes the difference between these two families? What makes the difference between these two families? The Edwards family is someone who fears the Lord and walks with the Lord. And generation down the road, we can see how the Lord has blessed them. Each of their children, grandchildren are being blessed by the Lord. We are not saying the occupation, we want to, these are the people that they walk with the Lord. But I think there's certain blessing behind when they're put at different ranking, different of place of influence. But we see another family. This family, Jukes family, is a non-believer family, an atheist family. They do not believe in God. So whatever decision they make, they never consider God inside. They do it whatever they like to. And we see how the trajectory became so different over 300 years. Brothers and sisters, if you walk with the Lord, He will reward you for those who seek Him. And look around us. We don't have elderly here and parents. If you go to the first service, you can look around those parents who walk with the Lord, who fear the Lord. We can see how the Lord blessed them in their family, in their lives, and the generation to come. And those who are not walking the Lord rightly, we can see how the family turned out quite not as ideal in the sense. You can see the difference. You don't have to compare with these 200 years. We can just look at the difference with the church members around us. I'm not saying that walking the Lord, you'll not have problems, you'll not have challenges. I'm not saying about that. I think we are all fallen creatures. We have hiccups along the way, and we fall and stumble. We battle with sin for the whole life. I think my point I want to bring out is that walking the Lord, and we obey in godly wisdom in the decision we make daily, the Lord will bless us. When all this decision is Christ-centered, the Lord will bless us. I think His blessings not just come on this earth, I think more importantly, is eternally. Let's read this statement together. 1, 2, 3. Faith looks to God for the reward of eternal life in heaven, not only for the good life here and now. The blessing we enjoy right now, I think cannot be compared much more than the blessing that God prepared for us, the eternal life in heaven. In conclusion, Enoch walked with God by faith. Enoch only came to faith at a very late age of 65 years old. Even though he's a latecomer in his faith, he dedicated his whole life walking with God faithfully for 300 years. 300 years. The name Enoch actually means the dedicated one. The dedicated one. Are you willing to dedicate your life to walk with God faithfully for the rest of your life? To walk with God also means being a disciple of Christ, to follow Him daily. It's not just about raising my hand, I want to receive Christ. It's about following Christ, being a disciple of Christ. And how do we know a person's faith is genuine? How do we know his faith is authentic? It's by looking, by his walk with the Lord. If he's walking with the Lord, we can see he is a genuine believer. Therefore, if you want to walk with the Lord, we need to believe that God is real. If we want to walk with the Lord, we have to agree with God and deny the flesh and the world. If we want to walk with the Lord, we have to believe that God rewards those who seek Him. Let's come before the Lord in a moment of silence. I invite the worship team out. Let the Lord speak to you. If you believe the Lord is real, you have to experience Him. And that experiencing God is not about 20 years ago. It's not about 10 years ago. You have to experience Him in your life. Did you really experience God in your life? Or are you just following rituals? Or are you just attending church services? Or our God just remain a mental knowledge to us? That we're not really experience the reality of God. You will not really experience that God is real in your life. Pray this prayer. God, if you are real, change me. I challenge you to pray this prayer right now because you've been coming to church for a long time, but you're not really turned to Lord and really not experiencing God. Probably this God is not real to you. It's just a mental knowledge to you. And see what God will do in your life. If you're sincere seeking Him, God will reveal Himself to you. If you want to walk with the Lord, you have to agree with the Lord. What God says is wrong, it is wrong. We have to obey Him and to deny our flesh. You're given the freedom. Freedom of choice. But unless you live within the boundary of God, you can never enjoy the freedom to see the beauty behind God's creation. Are you harboring sin in your life that you're not dealt with? If you are, I give a moment of silence for you to tell God, confess to God, and let God speak to your heart. What should you do at the end of this service? Are there sins still gripping you? You're still holding on to it. That means that you're not walking the Lord. Bring into the light. Confess to the Lord. This is a sin. Agree with Him. If God has really pointed out this is a sin to you, you have to agree with Him. Ask the Lord to help you to repent, to cut off, do whatever things are necessary to cut away from this sin. If you want to walk with the Lord, you have to cut it off. And finally, if you want to walk with the Lord, you have to believe that God will reward you. Blessed is the man who walks in God's way. He will prosper you. He will definitely prosper you if you walk in His way, not in your own ways.